Suppose you knew two men who were fast friends. We're going to call them Joe and Schmo. Now, let's suppose these two guys are real good friends. I mean, you know the kind of guys that go hunting and fishing together and watch ball games together. And one day, Schmo says to Joe, "I need $10,000. Would you co-sign for a loan for me?" Well, now, what's Joe going to say? I mean, they've been friends for years and years and years. How do you say no to a friend in need? But let's suppose that Joe knew better than to do that on a moment's notice, and he decided that there was something else he needed to do first. So he says to Schmo, "Let me talk to my wife." So let's suppose that Joe goes home and he talks to Sally, his wife, and she didn't go to the Southern Baptist Convention in Utah, and she didn't know that you were supposed to submit graciously to a loving husband, and she says, "I don't like this idea at all." She says, "I think we need to think about this." She's hesitant, she's cautious. Basically, she's just against it. And to buttress her position, she says something like, "I remember reading in the Bible once that it says you should never co-sign for a loan." And Joe says, "Well, if you're going to quote the Bible, God says be generous." So they're at an impasse, and they decided that in order to resolve this, they should go talk to a pastor. So they go see a pastor, and he listens to them, and he says, "You know, Joe's right. God is gracious and wants us to be gracious. God is generous. God wants us to be generous. I think you should do it." Now, when they leave his office, Sally's still not impressed, and she says to Joe, "Huh, he didn't quote a single passage of Scripture. I want Bible on this. I mean, after all, this involves $10,000. I want a second opinion." So they pick another pastor and they go see him. We're going to call him Pastor by the Book. They sit down and explain the situation, and Pastor by the Book says, "You know, never been asked this question before, but the other day I was reading in the book of Proverbs, and sure enough, there is in the book of Proverbs a passage, I don't remember where it is, but I recall reading it, that says you should never co-sign for a loan." At least I think that's what it means. So they leave, and now they're really not sure what to do. They've got two pastors who disagree with each other. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think they should co-sign for the loan? How many of you think they should co-sign for the loan? Raise your hand. How many think they should not co-sign for the loan? How many think the Bible is against co-signing for a loan? Can you give me the passage? No, Proverbs. Good guess. Now that just brings up the whole issue of you and your money and your friends. What I really want to ask you is this. How many of you have ever had a friend come and ask you, forget co-signing for just a second, to loan them money? Have you ever had a friend do that? How many of you did it? Okay. How many of you ever had somebody come and say, co-sign for a loan? How many of you ever did it? How many of you got stung by it? Almost everybody raised their hand and said they did it. Interesting. Well, I tell you what, I could never imagine ever preaching on the subject of co-signing for a loan. But I made a decision to sort of move through Proverbs a bit at a time. And lo and behold, I looked at the next passage and guess what the subject is? Co-signing for a loan. And I looked at that and I said, "Lord, what am I supposed to say?" And lo and behold, the deeper I dug, the more fascinating this got to me. And I have to tell you that as I was going through this process, I changed my mind a couple of times as to what I was going to say. But I think there are some incredibly valuable lessons here that we need to be reminded of. So with that in mind, would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6? In our study of Proverbs, we've come to chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 says, "My son, if you become a surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your own mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler." Wow. What is that all about? Well, let's walk through the passage, and let me just begin by explaining a few things. In verse 1, it says, if you become a surety, that's that you become the collateral, the guarantor of a loan. In simple language, we would say today, if you become the cosigner on a loan. That's exactly what that means. The word friend here needs a little bit of explanation, because the word friend in Proverbs is used from anybody from a close friend to just somebody who is a fellow human being. And the context determines exactly which meaning the writer has in mind. Or as one author said, this word is colored by the context. Here it probably just means anyone. Just being a cosigner for anybody. So this isn't necessarily a close friend, though it may be. He then says, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger. And there are several possibilities here. Obviously, shaking hands is the way you confirm the contract or the covenant. So it's like saying, if you signed the contract, that's the way we would say it in our day. Remember the days when you could make an agreement and shake a hand and that would settle it? That's the idea. And again, stranger may mean he's the lender, or this could be translated for the stranger, and it'd be a synonym for friend. At any rate, the point of this opening verse is, if you've become the cosigner on a loan for somebody, that's the idea. He says in verse 2, you are snared by the words of your own mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. The point is, you are snared, and that word means you're trapped. To be taken in the latter part of that verse means to be captive. And later he uses the illustration of a trapped animal. To co-sign, he says, is to get yourself in a trap. So he is warning against co-signing for a loan. There are people who are looking for a co-signer. You ever met one? You know anybody like that? I heard an old joke many years ago, kind of a sick joke, but it went like this. There were three guys who were in an accident. They died and they went to hell. And Satan said, I don't have enough room for all three of you. And he offered them a bargain, and they could buy their way out. Now, this is a sick joke, because you can't do that. If you have any question about that, go read Acts 8 afterward, and you'll see the Bible specifically says you can't buy your way to heaven. It's a gift. God gives it to those who trust his son. But anyway, the first guy, who was known for writing bad checks, simply wrote a bad check for $1,000 and left. Later, somebody said to him, well, what happened to the other two guys? And he says, well, I really don't know. I left, but as I was leaving, one of them was negotiating, and he had him down to 800, and the other one was looking for a cosigner. Now, there are people out there looking for a cosigner, and that's the warning that Solomon is giving. Now, here's what he says. If you've already done this, son, verse 3, then deliver yourself. And here's what you do. Go humble yourself. This is an extremely vivid Hebrew word. It means to stamp or stomp on yourself. One commentator says the idea here is you go and you throw yourself on the ground violently. And you, then he says, plead. And that's another vivid Hebrew word. It means to storm and boisterously plead with him to let you out of this. And then he uses the illustration of don't let sleep hit your eyes or eyelids. In other words, do this immediately, because this is like being trapped like an animal or a bird. And a trapped animal or a bird uses all of its strength and all of its skill to get out of this. And so Solomon is saying, if you've co-signed for a loan, do everything you possibly can to get out of this, because you have been trapped. Nothing else, you may lose some of your financial freedom. Don't do this, seems to be the message. This last week, when I was thinking about this, I asked somebody, do you know anybody that's ever co-signed for a loan and got in trouble? And the lady I asked said, oh, yeah, dozens. I said, well, give me an illustration. Give me a story. Tell me about a case you know. She says, well, I know of a young man who got married and wanted to buy a mobile home and went to an elderly lady and got her to co-sign for the loan. And they got married. They bought this mobile home. And then this young wife ran off with another fella. I think it was a friend of the husband. And this guy ran off and joined the army. Guess who got stuck with the loan? The elderly lady. So the creditors went to her and she says, oh, go see him. They went to him and he said, the memories of this are too painful. I don't want to even think about that place. He would have nothing to do with it. And so, as she told me the story, currently, as I speak, the creditors are bugging that elderly lady because she co-signed for a loan. So Solomon says, and I want to state this carefully, if you co-sign for a loan, you are trapped. Now that's the point of this verse. Let me say it again. If you co-sign for a loan, you have entered a snare. That's all it says. Don't read more into it than it's there. That's all it says. It's proverbial. You're trapped. Now, there are other verses in Proverbs that echo that idea. So let me take just a moment and have you turn to chapter 11 and look at verse 15. We're going to do a little Bible study now. We've looked at that passage. Let's put it in the context of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 11, verse 15 says, who is surety for a stranger will suffer for it, but he who hates being surety is secure. The word suffer means, literally, that you're going to be miserable, that calamity is going to come upon you, such as I just described. Turn to chapter 17 and look at verse 18. Chapter 17, verse 18 says, a man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. There it is again. You go co-sign for a loan, and you are going to be one described as void of understanding. Ouch. One other. Look at chapter 22, verse 26. Chapter 22, verse 26 says, do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. Now, all I want to point out is that the book of Proverbs has a warning against co-signing for a loan. Now, let me ask a question. Does that mean that you should never do this? Are there exceptions? What would the author of the book of Proverbs say about that? Is it possible that there is a situation that would allow for you to co-sign for a loan? And what might those exceptions be if, in fact, they exist? All right. Fasten your seatbelt. The trip's going to get interesting. As I started scratching through Proverbs, I discovered that some of these very passages I just read to you seem to hint that it might be okay to co-sign for a loan. I just had you turn to chapter 11, verse 15. Look at that passage again. And look at verse 15. Chapter 11, verse 15, who is surety for a stranger will suffer for it, but one who hates being surety is secure. Read the next verse. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The implication seems to be, you know, beware, you might suffer. This is Proverbs now, this is proverbial. But be gracious, which implies being generous. I don't know, Mike. I think you're pushing that one a little. As I looked at it, it just seemed to me that there was a hint here. Turn to chapter 17. I mean, this has real practical ramifications, because if you haven't been asked to co-sign for a loan, hang on, you will be. It'll happen. Now, I read to you a minute ago, verse 18. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Read verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Huh. This seems to be saying, well, if you're going to love, even if it's trouble, and that's stated before, you know, that's not wise. But if you're going to love, sometimes love does things that cost. There's a hint here. That's all I'm suggesting. But what really blew me away is this. Read chapter 20, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 16 says, take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger and hold it as a pledge when it is for a seductress. What? That verse is saying it's not only okay to co-sign for a loan, just get some collateral, even if it's for a seductress. What does that mean? Well, I don't know how your translation renders the word seductress, but there's a problem with that word in the book of Proverbs. The Hebrew word is literally stranger or foreigner. And apparently, some of the first harlots in Israel were foreigners, and so there are passages where that word is clearly referring to a prostitute, and the translators of this translation have chosen to color it with that here. It does not necessarily follow. But be all that as it may, the point of that verse is, if you do this, make sure you get some collateral. That's all that verse is saying. There's a similar verse in chapter 27, but what I want you to do is turn to chapter 22. One more. Chapter 22. And look at verse 26. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts, if you have nothing with which to pay. Why should he take away your bed from under you? Underline the little phrase, if you have nothing with which to pay. Now, what I think we need to do is put all of these passages together and sort of come up with a conclusion. And my conclusion is this. As I read what other people said about these passages, I was really fascinated Some took the prohibitions or the warnings, and they said, now these are proverbial, these are general truths, they're not absolutes with no exceptions. Another possible explanation was that these passages are warning against doing this in haste. Don't rush to do this. And they're all grappling with the fact that there are these verses in Proverbs that say there's a problem with this, and there are others that seem to allow it. How do you put those two things together? One of the most, I think, interesting facts that I uncovered was somebody suggested that in Solomon's day, it was much more serious to co-sign for a loan than it is in our day. Because we've got debtor laws that protect debtors. You can always file for bankruptcy. You couldn't do that in Solomon's day. So that if you co-signed and you became the collateral for a loan, and the original borrower defaulted, you could lose everything. As Proverbs said, you could lose your bed. So that seems to be why there are such strong warnings against this. As a matter of fact, I found one author who said you could end up in slavery if you didn't pay back the loan. So in that environment, obviously, there is a stern warning against being entrapped in co-signing for a loan. But I think the fact remains that the book of Proverbs, while it warns against the fact this may be unwise, that you may be trapped by it, that you may lack understanding and you need to understand all the ramifications, nevertheless, if you're going to do it, make sure that you can repay it, and if possible, get some collateral. Thought it was interesting that no less than Matthew Henry, who wrote a very famous commentary on the Bible a couple of hundred years ago, suggested on this subject that if you could do this, or you were willing to do this, that you needed to make sure that you could repay the loan. Interesting. Now, it seems to me this brings up not just co-signing for a loan, but the whole subject of money and your friends. What about someone who just wants you to loan the money? They don't want you to co-sign, they just want you to give them money. That's probably more common than co-signing for a loan. Or what about just giving gifts to a friend? Forget the loan, forget the collateral, just give it to them. What does the Bible say about all of this? So I thought since Proverbs 6 brought up the subject of money, it might be helpful just to pause and look at some things the Bible has to say about you, your money, and your friends. I almost started to entitle this just that. You, your money, and your friends. What I'd like to do is give you three statements concerning you, your money, and your friends. In order to do that, I'd like for you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 22. Second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 22. Very fascinating passage of Scripture. Exodus chapter 22, verse 25 says this, if you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a moneylender to him. You shall not charge him interest. Isn't that interesting? If you're going to lend money to someone who's a believer, don't charge interest. If they're poor, they can't afford it. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down, for this is his only covering, it is his garment for his skin, what will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. First point, first suggestion You got friends and it gets involved with money. Here's the first suggestion. Lend money graciously. Meaning, be gracious. Don't charge interest. If you take collateral and that collateral somehow involves his necessities, like the blanket he sleeps under, then give it back to him before the sun goes down. Don't cause him to suffer. If you're going to lend money, do it graciously. As a matter of fact, well, that doesn't mean that you can't lend money and charge for it. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy specifically says that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 20 says, "To a foreigner you may charge interest to your brother." Interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. So I just want to show you that Exodus says in some cases you should lend money and not charge interest. You should lend graciously. And other passages say lend money, charge interest. Make money off of the fact that you are lending money. Now, we could talk about this rather extensively. In the book of Amos, the prophet judges the people, pronounces judgment on them because they were loaning money to their brothers and charging interest. And he comes down on them very, very hard. So my point is, it's okay to loan money, and somehow and all that, while it's okay to charge interest in some cases it's not, just do it graciously. Bob Hope, the comedian, said, "If you don't have any charity in your heart, you have the worst kind of heart trouble." So with your money, just be gracious. If you're going to loan it, be gracious. Now, second point I'd like to suggest, and that is, and we've already looked at all these passages, but if you're going to co-sign, then co-sign cautiously. And I assume that this probably involves larger sums of money. That if you're going to do that, and here's the rule, make certain that if the person defaults, you could pay the loan without getting hurt. So my suggestion from studying Proverbs is that by and large, this is not a good idea, especially if it puts you in harm's way. If it puts you in a position where you could lose your financial freedom, or you could lose major possessions that would harm your family, which seems to be the point in the book of Proverbs, then don't do this. But if you can afford to repay the loan yourself, then do it. So my conclusion is, co-sign cautiously. I know a financial planner who suggests to his clients that if you're going to co-sign or even loan money, then only do it if you can afford to give that amount as a gift to that person. And frankly, that's not a bad rule of thumb. That's not a bad rule. If it's going to put you in jeopardy financially, then that's not wise. But on the other hand, if you could afford to give it as a gift, if you could afford to repay the loan if it defaults, then do that. Victor Hugo, the 19th century author, said, "As the purse is emptied, the heart is filled." So, be gracious. Be guarded, but be gracious. One other suggestion, and I think we need to revisit Proverbs for me to make it. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 11 for a second. Proverbs chapter 11. And look at verse 25. I'm just going to have you read a couple of verses. These are just very, very fascinating. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters also will be watered himself. The point I wish to make, the third point concerning you, your money, and your friends, is you ought to give generously. The book of Proverbs is full of this. And it says, the generous soul will be made rich. I think we sometimes think that if I give money, then I'm going to be poor. Proverbs says, no. It's the person who's generous that ends up rich. Isn't that interesting? There's a principle in the Bible. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. And often that's applied to money. So be generous. Now, I want you to look at a couple of verses. I want you to look at chapter 19, verse 17. Chapter 19, verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. So what's the point? The point is, be generous. Look at chapter 22, verse 9. He who has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. And again, the point of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9 is, be generous. Want to keep doing this? I got a whole bunch of these. Look at chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who holds his eyes will have many curses. I think sometimes the attitude is, if I give money, what if I need it? Well, if you're doing this as unto the Lord, then He's going to see to it that you don't lack, because the Lord loves a generous, cheerful giver. Look at chapter 29, verse 27. Chapter 29, verse 27 says, an unjust man is an abomination to the Lord, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. You know what? I don't think I wrote the right reference down for that verse. I did not. At any rate, I do have one more passage I want you to look at. And it's it's Luke chapter 6, verse 34. I want to show you what Jesus said. Luke chapter 6, verse 34. Now this is Jesus talking. He says, if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Can you lend money? Sure. But if you're lending money with the idea that you're going to get it back and with interest, you got your reward, Jesus would say. For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Wow. Those passages clearly say that we ought to be generous. So, here's my conclusion. You ought to lend graciously. You ought to co-sign cautiously. And you ought to give generously. If I were going to sum it all up in one sentence, I would say, be generous, but be guarded in some cases. God
wants us to be generous. A couple of weeks ago, when I had no thought of ever speaking on this subject or anything near it or like it, I forgot, reading, listening to the radio. I was just meditating. And the thought has occurred to me again since then several times. You know what? We got a great little family started here.
Amen.
And as a father, I'd like to see our tribe increase. And I'd like for us to grow numerically. And we will. That's going to happen. But as a shepherd of a little flock, I'm going to tell you that I'd like to see us grow spiritually and not just numerically. That every one of us is important. And my concern as a pastor is that each of us grow. What does that mean? You know, we throw that word out all the time. What does it mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that we become more like Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And what was He like? He gave sacrificially. As a matter of fact, there are references in Job and in the book of Psalms. We've looked at so many verses, I decided I'm going to bore you with a few more. But that talk about the fact that God was our surety. That He looked at me and He said, you know, Mike is worth the risk. I'll sign. And He sent His Son. And He gave His Son. So God's willing to take the risk because God's generous. And that's what I'd like to see. I don't care how big this congregation is, as much as I care how big hearts we got.
Amen.
And I want us all, every one of us as individuals, to have big hearts, because that's being like Christ. And we just need to give, because that's Christ-like. Now, I read you the verses. You can't outgive the Lord. The book of Proverbs is clearly teaching that if you give, you're going to have plenty to live on. And God is going to bless you. The book of Proverbs even says, you'll be rich. Now, I'm not sure if that's financially or spiritually, but that's what Proverbs says. And Jesus said, great is your reward. I want that for us. I want that for me. I want that for you. I want that for this congregation. I'd love for us to be known as a congregation of generous people that we gave. Now, I think we need to be wise, and that's the point. We need to be gracious, and we need to be guarded. So I'm not asking that we do something foolhardy. I'm asking that we do something that's full of love and compassion, and that we just be generous. Now, the book of Proverbs would say, you start with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Honor the Lord with the first fruits. We saw that back in chapter 3, that you start there. And there are all kinds of references in the Scripture to the fact that we help poor people, that we just be generous with our friends. But it begins with saying, I'm going to give to the Lord. Maybe we should discuss sometime how you do all of that. There are some guidelines in the Scripture. I was going through James. We stopped when we got to Elder, and I explained what the Scripture said about Elder. Maybe I should stop here and just do some study on exactly what the Scripture says we ought to do. Maybe we'll do that. Matter of fact, that's a great idea. Glad you thought of that. But the point I want to make, and I just want us to talk like a family. Mike wants to talk to you, is I want us to be generous. Do you agree with that? You want to be generous? I think that's what we ought to do. Instead of being stingy and tightwads, I want us to have big hearts. Amen? Because you see, I think that as a pastor, that's one of the best things I could do for you. Because God's going to bless us if we do that. Amen? Amen. God's going to bless us. I'd rather have the blessing of the Lord on a little less than what I think is a little more and not have the blessing of the Lord. So you just open your heart and open your wallet. Start with the Lord. And He said, I like that. And I like that He likes that. I heard once of a pastor who went to see a lady that had a rose garden. She had every conceivable kind of roses. White roses, yellow roses, red roses. A whole bunch of other kind of roses I didn't even recognize when I read the story. And she said to the pastor, come out to my rose garden. And she began to just cut the roses. She was going to give the pastor some roses to take home to his wife. And she was just snipping away. She was giving him all of her roses. And the pastor said, wait a minute, wait a minute. You're robbing yourself of all this beauty. And she said, oh, you don't understand how roses grow. I don't lose anything by giving. Matter of fact, it's as you cut those roses, you get more back. Well, if you think you got to hold on to all this money, you're the one robbing yourself of the joy of giving. So I say, let's be generous. Amen? Be guarded. Be careful. But let's be generous. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wise, practical, down-to-earth instruction about a mundane thing like co-signing for a loan and lending money to a friend, giving. Lord, help us in every area of our life to be like you. In the midst of a passage on lending money, you said you were gracious. Help us to have that same attitude, so that we can be more and more like your Son and have your hand of blessing on us as individuals and us as a congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.